like, I don't even think you guys need me to preach. It was just so good. Just keep playing. No, I'm just going to. I've tried that. Doesn't always work. Sometimes they're like, we're out of songs, John. So we're going to jump into this message today. And again, I want to say happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. How many of you like got dragged to church by your kids or your spouse? Raise your hand held high. Like, I am here. Somebody invited me here, and I'm here. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I know you're there. So, but thank you for coming out today. And we really have a fantastic Heavenly Father. And one of the things we're going to be praying about and looking into today is getting a fresh revelation of our Heavenly Father. And he's fantastic. And really, the title of my message is Dadtastic, because I want to be a fantastic dad. But I'm going to just pray right now. Lord Jesus, Lord, we just pray. Lord, again, I pray for each and every father here, for stepdads, foster dads, stand-in dads, when our kids are doing stuff and they just step in. Lord, we pray for every spiritual father in this place. Lord, they are so valuable. We honor them today. Lord, we bless them today. Lord, and I'm praying for each and every one of us for a fresh revelation of the love of the Father. You love us with an everlasting love. And all God's people would say, amen. You can go to that first, yeah, and again, Dadtastic, becoming a fantastic dad. I made up some dad-isms today, so they're a little cheesy. Just like our display. I don't know if you guys like, do you guys like our donut display out there? It's good, right? Yeah. My favorite touch is we have the yellow orange or the orange cord just duct taped to the wall for no apparent reason, just because we thought of you. That's right, duct tape dads. We did that one. So just go to the first picture, I should say. All right. So it's March 30th, 2017. That's when Emma came into the world. You talk to dads, it's the proudest day of your life when you know you have a child. And if you don't think I look happy, I am. I just still a little sleep deprived. I probably still am sleep deprived, but that was like the next morning. So, but there's something that happens when you're a dad. And one of my buddies had explained this phenomenon to me, and then I really experienced it. And that's one of the things, when you become a natural father, there's a fresh revelation of the love of our Heavenly Father that gets showed to you, that gets delivered in a special way. And my buddy was explaining how when his wife was pregnant, he had a love for this unborn child, right? But I think it's different for the mom, because they're carrying this child. It's like part of them already, right? And so there's a point when your wife is pregnant and you're praying for the baby and the mom to be. And all of a sudden there's that moment when the baby comes and they hand you the baby. And you're holding that child for the first time. And it's like instantly you're just overwhelmed with love. Right? And it's like I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to work it up. It was just boom, there. Right? An incredible, incredible moment. And it's like, where did this come from? Right? And the baby didn't do anything. You know, it just arrived, right? And it didn't, you know, get good grades, or, you know, it didn't go to the Olympics or become the president. It was just, boom, it's part of me. And I love it an incredible amount. And again, I just want to say that's the way our Heavenly Father sees us. You're that child, right, that he loves with an everlasting love. And it's such an awesome picture. I can go to the next slide. There's a nice picture of a new dad, right? That's my first big baby spit up, if you can't see that. I was just coming home. I just got home from work, and I just started going back to work, so it was probably like the third week of being a dad. And just started going back to work, came home, and I was like, oh, let me hold the baby. Of course, the baby just ate, all right? I'm playing with the baby, and then it decides to share its lunch, her lunch with me, right? And again, it's a revelation. Somebody talked to me about this. I remember a pastor preaching this, but it's so much more true when it actually happens in your life in the natural, where You know, we might not like the mess, right? But I still love the baby. It's not like I'm mad at the baby. Remember, like, oh, you know, but it's like you still love the baby, right? You still care for the baby. And what God was speaking to this pastor and speaking to me is that God's not afraid of our mess. God is not afraid of your mess. He might not like it, but he's not afraid of it. It's not like, hey, I love spit up, right? But I did talk to this one new dad he was talking about. He's like, he still had some on his back, right? And he's out in the store, and he said he was, like, so sleep deprived. Someone's like, oh, buddy, you got... He's like, oh, no, that's nothing. Like, so this is a good day, right? You know, so... Yeah, exactly. Dads are awesome. So, but again, the title of my message is Dadtastic, Becoming a Fantastic Dad. I don't know about you, but I want to be a fantastic dad. I want to grow and just be awesome. And if I want to do anything right, this is what I want to do right. Amen? So I came up with these dadisms. And if we could go to the first word, dadventive. All right, and I turn this, and this is like dadventive love. Just think about it this way. And this is on your fill-in, so you can start there. It says, the creative and impactful way that dads demonstrate love and parent their children. Fun being of the utmost importance in loving your kids well. You know, there's the five love languages. Well, we'll talk about those in a little bit. But kids' love language is fun. Having fun with your kids. That's how they know you love them. Right? And I don't think that ever really changes, right? The way you have fun might change, but that's the thing. But there's a creative, unique way that a dad does this that is so important and so valuable. And I want to talk about some of these things. And there's some other dad words out there, like dadventions. We're going to talk about that one. Any dadventures out there, right? Normally comes out of necessity, right? Dad ventures, right? We're going to go on a dad venture, right? Also some dad jokes. You got to love some dad jokes. We can talk a story about my dad, right? And if you don't know, I'm one of four boys. I'm number three out of four. And my younger brother asked my dad one day, he said, hey, dad, can you build me a swing, right? And so I'm going to the next slide. So I think my dad was thinking, like, let me make, like, a swing like this, right? And my dad was kind of a get-her-done guy. He's like, I don't want to go to the store, right? So he had some rope. There's a tree across the street. Not even our, like, tree, but a tree across the street, right? You know? Again, this is going to date my family here. So he had the rope. He had the tree. But he's like, I didn't have a piece of wood that was, you know, the right shape or that was going to be strong enough. And he had a drill. So, and he's like, oh, what can I do? And again, he didn't want to go to the store. Real men don't want it. They want to find something, right? Improvise. So he realizes my older two brothers, and again, I'm one of four. I have a Mark, a Matthew, I'm John, got a brother Luke. We got all the Gospels, all right? So if we had another one, it was going to be Acts, but we didn't. They didn't have one, so... We didn't get the order right, but they all came. So anyways, my dad goes upstairs and to my older brother's room, and they were skateboarders, and they had these old skateboard decks. And back then in the 80s and 90s, those skateboard decks, like, blew out real quick. It's like the tails, they just got flat right away. And he's like, hey, this is strong wood. He's like, hey, can I have one of these skateboards? And they're like, yeah, go for it. So my dad literally drills a hole in the center of the skateboard, puts the rope through it, right? And, you know, climbs a tree, hangs the rope, hangs this rope swing across the street. And my brother Luke sits on it, right, and just swings out back and forth. And then he comes in and he goes, gets us, the other brothers, and he's like, hey, dad built me a swing. So we all go downstairs across the street, and it's a skateboard rope swing. My dad didn't even try to invent it like this. And my brother's like, wait, we're not going to sit on it. We're going to stand on this thing, right? And the skateboard rope swing was invented. I'm sure it's been reinvented. And this is a video of a video I found on YouTube where some other dad, I'm sure, created their version of it. So you can just go watch this video. And that's not a ramp. I think that's just a shed that he's dropping in on, right?
How
How many kids are like, Dad, build me one of those, right? Pastor John said it's all right. So, but our we didn't have a shed that we dropped in. Really, just the where the tree was, it was on a hill. So literally, we just dragged the skateboard as tight up against the hill, stood on it. And again, you had to wear gloves because that rope was rough, right? And you just lean back, and you'd slide down the hill and out in the over the street and carve. And it was awesome, right? Still trying to find photographic proof of it, but wasn't able to do so, right? It's probably a liability. We shouldn't. And only one person got hurt. And it wasn't that bad. And we just had him rub some dirt on it and walk it off. And it was awesome, right? And then there were some other dadventions that were related to dadventures. One of the things that my mom's family, they have a ranch out in Valley Ford. And, you know, it's got a couple hundred acres out there. And there was a time where we're out there for some event, and it's all dirt, you know, it's no paved road, so there's like grass, dirt roads. And my dad had this idea to, or I don't know if it was his idea, but he was driving the van. He had his work van out there, and he had tied a piece of plywood by a rope to the van and was driving, and we were surfing this piece of plywood that's being dragged behind the van, right? But it's not paved, it's all grass, you know, and I remember thinking how crazy that was years later, but that truck was like this work truck, so it had a really low gear, so I think it was just literally going like 5 miles an hour, you know, you could just run up and jump on it, you know what I'm saying? But we thought it was the coolest thing. Another thing you would do, you had a dump truck, right, which we'll come around towards again in a second, but it was a Chevy one-ton, you know, dump truck, just a flatbed, but that thing would dump all the way like 90 degrees, and it would go slow as hydraulic, but we'd literally get in the back, and we're like, Dad, can you dump the truck, you know, and we'd hold on and go, ee! Eventually, we'd be literally hanging from the truck, right? And then we'd be like, okay, and then he'd let it go, and it would actually kind of swing down pretty quickly, and we'd try to just, like, do it in the air while it's swinging under us, you know, so much fun, right? So much fun. There's a way that dads love that's different than what a mom does. There's some dad ventures you go on. One of the things, and a dad venture, let me break it down, is like when dad has to do something and he tries to make it fun for whatever task it is, right? One of the things we found out was awesome is there was a dumps in San Rafael, right? Kind of where the Home Depot is in that area. There's this dumps there, and again, my dad was a landscape contractor, and so we'd go to the dumps, or he would go to dumps frequently, and so he's like, ah, let's go to the dumps, and your kids are like, oh, okay. Well, then we found out they gave you lollipops when you went there, and they were like, Dad, let's go to the dumps, right? You know, dad ventures. Also, sometimes we, you know, you have to go to the job site for whatever reason, and again, we're real little. It's like, oh, yeah, he tried to make fun. We're like, we knew there was usually a pile of sand somewhere because he does a lot of masonry and brickwork. So, and again, we were young enough, we didn't know what else was in the sand or we didn't care, I don't know. But, and there's also wheelbarrows there. And we're like, Dad, you know, and some of his guys would do it too. We'd get in the wheelbarrow and they'd run us around in these wheelbarrows. And so much fun because you're at like a 45-degree angle holding on for dear life and they're just running, right? Dad ventures, right? There's a way that dad does it that's fun. Another story is one time my dad helped me with my homework project. And it was back then, I think it was the fourth grade, we had a missions project. They say it's now fifth grade, where you have to make a model of one of the California missions, right? Does anybody remember their model, right? Mine was San Juan Capistrano, if you ask. It didn't turn out that way, but it looked really cool. So again, a lot of kids use like styrofoam, or one of my friends used like Lincoln Logs, or plaster of Paris, and they make these models. Well, again, my dad was kind of get her done. I'm like, hey, Dad, can you help me build this mission? And he's like, well, we don't have any plaster of Paris, but he's like, I do have some cement. And so here we go. It's got some wire, some wood. We had some like Coke bottles, so like that it actually had like, you know, a bell tower kind of thing, and put a wooden cross in it. And this cement mission turned out to be about 3 feet wide. Steeple was probably about 3 feet tall, and the base of it was like this huge monstrosity. concrete mission. It didn't even really look like the mission, but it looked like it could have been a mission, you know? And so when it comes time to bring it to school, he's got to bring the dump truck, the flatbed truck, you know? And I think he brings his guy, like, instead of going to work, he's like, okay, I'll go to school and drop it off. And literally they like took it off the, not something I could carry, right? Put it on a four-wheel dolly and then they rolled it in. So you got all the other missions on the table and mine's just next to the table on the ground, you know? And some of the other kids are going, man, like A plus, buddy. And some of the other parents are thinking, Johnny didn't build that by himself. Judging me, right? And, the way that dads do things, it's different. But those are the memories that I have. Those fun times with my dad, those are the best times of my life. You know, remembering those moments. And there's a creative expression that you love your way, that you parent your way, that is not only going to touch the generation behind us, but generations to come. And I'm calling all of us into that in a greater way. Amen? There's a lot of good dad jokes out there because I think dads think they're funny, right? I'm one of them, right? And there was a kid, and he asked his dad, he said, what time is my dentist appointment? And he's like, oh, it's 2:30. 2:30, right? He goes to the, you know, he's also, dad's going in the grocery store, and the cashier says, oh, would you like your milk in a bag? He's like, no, just leave it in the carton, right? And another one I forgot to say last service was they were at a petting zoo, and the dad starts, like, taking his water bottle and feeding the, like, giving some to the pony. And he's like, dad, why are you giving water to the pony? He's like, oh, it's a little horse. It's bad, right? It's a little bored. Really good dad jokes. Okay, moving on. Terrible. All right, go to the dad quote. This is in the fill-ins as well. And this is by Billy Graham. It says this. It says, a good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. All right? Turn to a dad next to you, near you, and say, you are valuable. Right? You're important. You're one of the most valuable things in our society. And a lot of times, dads don't give enough, are not given enough praise. We want to honor you today. We want to say thank you, dads. This is our natural dads, our, again, stepdads, foster dads, spiritual dads, stand-in dads. I think stand-in dads are like when your kid is about to do something, you're like, oh, hold on. Like, I appreciate those kind of dads. But you are valuable. You make a difference in this world. There's an amazing calling that you have that's not going to be fulfilled by anybody else. So I want to pray. You know, I'm a new dad, and you know, actually one of the things that's funny is somebody's called me, like, oh, you're Emma's dad. And that's just, I think, going to be my name for a long time, right? I'm just going to be known as Emma's dad, right, which I'm totally okay with. And it's funny, too, because you see, like, other dads, and they see me with a baby, well, toddler, it's not a baby anymore, run around up here, you know, all that stuff. But talk about discipline, another service, controlling your kids, another service. But some of these dads look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, that was the most powerful time in my life. What I would do to go back to those days. Well, I'm going to call you that those days aren't over. And maybe your kids are grown, but I'm also going to talk about being a spiritual dad today. And that same reward that you got from being a dad, God's going to do that again, wants to do that again in you. So I want to pray, you know, for myself. Like, John really needs to pray for himself right now. So after those jokes, right? But I want to pray for all the dads, especially new dads. I don't know about you, but there's been times I just feel so overwhelmed and unqualified. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just really winging it, right? And I need Jesus to help me, right? And I need to provide financially for my daughter. I know today we got two incomes and stuff like that, but that's part of the deal, and there's those financial pressures. And then there's that pressure of, again, just being there, being present. I want to be there for my daughter and any other kids I have. I want to be there in those moments, right? But also, God has been challenging me to be the spiritual leader in my household and move up in that regard. And I want to lead by example in that area, right? And so just join your heart with me. We're going to pray for all the dads. Lord Jesus, today, Lord, again, we are so grateful, Father, that we have a good, good Father, that we have a role model in heaven that we can look to as our blueprint, our foundation. Lord, better help us, Lord, truly provide for our families financially. Lord, just to be there, to be present, to have those moments where we're there. Lord, and also to help us be the spiritual leaders of our household. Just like Job got up early and made sacrifices for his family. Lord, we want to be praying. Lord, we want to be leading and guiding our family. And all those people would say, amen, amen. Go to the next slide. So how do I become dadtastic, right? How do I do this? What does it look like? What are the steps? And I'm just going to share a little bit out of my story. Not everything you might relate to today, but I believe there's be one, at least one of these things that you're going to relate to today and in my journey. And it started before I was a natural dad. And looking back, I'm like, I'm so grateful God started to deal with some of this stuff earlier, right? So by the time my daughter came, that everything would be on track. And actually, it's funny, there was a child when we first, Emma was first born, that summed up something that a lot of people had said to us. Kids just have a way of summing things up. And also, sometimes they have a way of saying things that nobody else is going to say, but they all think, right? And when Emma was born, this child came up to my wife and said, oh my gosh, Emma is so cute. And I'm like, amen, right? Cutest baby ever. 100% biased, right? Right here. And then this child goes, you finally had a baby. I think many of you have thought that, but this child is like, you finally did it, right? But again, my journey starts before I was a father, and I was going to this men's group. It was kind of like the life groups we have now. We didn't call them life groups back then, but it was a men's ministry, like prayer, fellowship, Bible study group, and I went there, and that one night we started listening to this message. And the pastor in the message started to challenge us, and he asked everybody, again, you know, that, again, I'm listening to it, but God was speaking to me that day. And he said, how many of you, you can remember a time where your father said, I love you. I'm proud of you. Couldn't have asked for a better son. Couldn't have asked for a better daughter. I believe in you. If you're passionate about something, you work hard, you're going to achieve your dreams. I got your back. I am with you. We're going to support you. And as I listen to this message, and I'm thinking, man, I'm like, I think I got a little bit of that, but I don't think I got a lot of that, you know? And then he went on to say, he said, and some of you who have never received that affirmation from your fathers, you can carry that baggage and see God the Father through that lens of disappointment you may have had with your natural father. And again, God was showing me that I was in that place, right? And then he continued, and again, this message changed my life, okay? It was probably a full year that I was working through this, and I'm still working through it on different levels. But again, he said, even some of this baggage and the way you see the world can actually come out in every relationship in your life. And I remember this time where my wife must have said something to me, and I'm sure I didn't have a good reaction. And she says, he's so defensive. And my mom was right there, and she's like, yeah, isn't he? And it's really bad when the two women that know you the best are so quick to agree, right? And God reminded me of that I was carrying some of this baggage into my relationships, into my workplace, into my ministry, that I was looking for affirmation. I was looking for, good job, son. I'm proud of you, right? And it wasn't a good thing. And I'm telling you this story at a place of victory, as a place of overcoming this baggage in my life. So that was this encounter I had this encounter. And part of the baggage was I needed to forgive my dad. He had already passed away. You know, passed away when I was 17, and I was older at this time, and thinking like, hey, I thought I already forgave him. So have you ever been in a place where you thought you were over a situation or forgiveness, and then that person comes back in your life or something comes up and you're like, ooh, like, right? And God showed me again that I needed to forgive. And we're not going to fully break down forgiveness, but it starts with a choice. If God is showing you something, an area where you need to forgive, a person you need to forgive, it starts just by saying, God, help me forgive so-and-so for such and such. Help me do this. I'm going to give this to you. And I started to do that. But then he gave me three keys. And I'm just going to say them now, then we'll break down each one today. And the first thing that he told me was that I needed to embrace my Heavenly Father, my Abba Father. All right? And so it was the first thing that he said. And I remember in this, again, hearing this message, and God was showing me that many times I don't pray to the Father. I'm like, hey, I pray to Jesus. Jesus, my best friend, right? Pray to the Holy Spirit. We love the power, the gifts, the presence. But not all the times do we pray to the Father. And even one of my friends was praying, and he's like, Dad, in heaven. And I was like, man, I don't pray that way, right? And God was saying, you need to embrace the love of the Father. Right? So it got me in that direction. The second thing, again, we'll break these down more. Second thing that I had to do, you can just go back to the slides that just show my baggage, my pride, my breakthrough. And the second thing he said, you need to embrace spiritual fathers in your life. And again, my first objection was like, God, there isn't one person that can do all the things that, all the brokenness and all the baggage in my heart. And God's like, I said, spiritual fathers. God had to remind me how he spoke to me, right? And he said, there's already spiritual fathers in your life that are speaking life into you, but you're not receiving from them. Right? It's like, whoo, busted. Right? He's like, hey. He's like, you have people like Pastor Hans that's speaking life into you, that's affirming you, who's on to be with the Lord now. You got people like Milt Hodges who's speaking into your life. Skip, who was my boss at the time, speaking in my life. Pastor Caleb was speaking in my life. And he's like, you need to receive as a son from these men of God I've put in your life. And again, I was so much pride. I was like, God, I don't need a man. God, Jesus, right? And he's like, oh, no, you need several, buddy. Not just one. You need the body of Christ. We all need to embrace spiritual fathers and mothers in our lives. Amen? This is the journey you put me on. Then the last thing really cracked me up. He said, now you need to become a spiritual father. I'm like, what? I got all these issues. You just showed me all my brokenness, right? How am I supposed to do this? And he said, no. This is part of the victory in your life. That as you affirm people, as you call them into their destiny, as you give them those things that maybe you didn't receive from your natural father, that's how the healing is going to, that's how it's going to manifest in your life. And I was like, oh, man. So again, I've been on this journey. I'm still on this journey. But again, I'm speaking out of a place of victory today. And there's a place in some of these things for each and every one of us today. All right? So again, let's go to embrace our Heavenly Father, Abba. Let's read Romans 8:15. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. As sons, we can cry out, Abba, Father. And this word Abba is actually not a Greek word. It's been translated from the Aramaic. And you know, Jesus in Jerusalem, they spoke Aramaic, was the common language. And then when they translated the Bible, they translated to Greek. But the translator said, hey, there's not really a word in Greek that really has the essence of Abba, right? I've heard it translated, it's the most intimate way to say father. Kind of like we would say daddy, but not a childish connotation. So I think sometimes we think our Heavenly Father, we think of the stiff, stoic. How many times do you go, hey, Father, right? Not very often. That's why I hold this whole thing about being dad-tastic, right? And this word Abba is that way. It's a cry. Just like a kid can say Abba. Emma's first word was definitely dada. So I just going to say that. It's easier to say. So it's easier to say, but Abba is one of those words where we can just cry, Abba, Father. And it says we've received the spirit of adoption, where the Father's just calling and say, hey, maybe you've been rejected. Maybe you haven't been affirmed. Maybe you've got wounds and issues. But right now, I'm adopting you. You are my son. You are my daughter. He's saying all those things that I talked about, that I believe in you, that I got your back. Right? That's what he's saying. And we need to dive into this. And God just put me on a journey to look at my Abba Father and really realize and see myself through that lens. Romans 8:5 says this. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. The statement I have under this is, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He already loves you that much. And I know in my life, I was running after affirmation. I was running after, attaboy, good job, son. And God's like, no, 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 John. There's nothing you can do for me to love you more. I love you that I love you. And again, it's just like that picture of Emma when I'm holding her. And actually in that picture, she wasn't even named yet, right? It was just itty bitty bitty at the time, right? Itty bitty bitty. And my wife and I were discussing the name at that point. So, but that baby, it didn't do anything to receive that love. And again, that's the picture. God's like, no, 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 you're part of me. I love you that much. Not based on what you're doing. Right? And this has started to get me in this lane of breakthrough. Matthew 3:17, this is when, I think I read this last time. I think I was in the spirit or something and missed it. But this is when Jesus gets baptized by John. And there's a voice from heaven that says, and behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know that God spoke this over Jesus before he'd done any miracles? Before he started his ministry? Right? That'll preach, right? That'll preach. This was before he did any miracles. Before he started his ministry. Right? So I want you to put yourself in that place. This is how the Father loves. We need to receive the Father's love today. Amen? So number two, embrace spiritual fathers. And again, for me, I had so much pride. If I went to people because I had issues or I had problems or I wanted to receive something, it was like, that means I don't have my stuff together. Well, guess what? I didn't have my stuff together. Right? And it was one of those things where I think a lot of us, when it comes to shame or it comes to baggage, it's like, if they really know me, will they still love me? Right? And again, God just started to change my heart, where again, I could receive from men of God and also spiritual mothers, but I started to receive those words of affirmation and be able to go to people if I had a problem or if I had a challenge. Proverbs 11:4, it says, where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's safety in a multitude of counsel. Right? There's people around us that can help us through those moments where we don't think we're all in it by ourselves. Just me against the world, right? Go to the next slide. Proverbs 19:20, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction. I like how it says listen, right? That you may gain wisdom in the future. Travis has become one of my spiritual sons. And for good or bad, no, I'm just kidding. I love you, Travis. And I remember one time Travis was talking about me and our relationship, and he said, you know, John always tells me the things I don't want to hear. And I'm thinking like, hey, I encourage him. I'm building him up. I'm releasing affirmation in his life. We're going out surfing. We're having dad adventures. And he's like, yeah, he always busts me on my stuff. But that's part of the deal, right? There's sometimes where, you know, the situation happens and maybe it's a mom, maybe it's somebody else. And they're like, oh, that's okay. And sometimes the dad will be like, that's tough. Bummer. Move on, right? Take a lap. Rub some dirt on it. Walk it, you know. And that's part of being a dad, right? There is an influence that you have that is so profound, right? There's so many statistics about, you know, when there's not a dad in the house. We're not going to go through them all right now, right? But there's so many negative statistics. Like if you, you know, if there's not a dad, a positive male role model, you know, you can look at all the negative things that happen. But there's also a lot of statistics of the positive benefit, right? Where men are in the right place when you do have fathers. And in church, it's interesting because remember one of the statistics was saying, hey, if there's a family and the child gets saved first, it's only a small percentage that the whole family will come to know Jesus, right? And then if it's the mom, it's a higher percentage, right, that the whole family will come to know Jesus. Well, when it's a dad, it was like 93% or something crazy, right? And there's a certain kind of influence when dads step into that place of authority, when they become the spiritual leaders of the house. And one of the statistics, I didn't want to, you know, pull the numbers because I think part of it breaks down. Like one of the interesting ones was that they say, you know, when a mom goes to church out of the family, there's a, you know, percentage of the kids that'll go with her. If it's a mom and dad, the percentage goes up, right? But if it's a dad without the mom, it's an even higher percentage. And you're like, whoa, what's, you know? And I think really what's happening is sometimes when mom and dad are going, maybe dad's just going along for the ride. Maybe he's just like, I'm just going to placate mom. But when the dad is the spiritual leader in the house, the whole family comes. My mom would be like, hey, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Then my dad would say, hey, we're going to church. Guess what? We were going to church. Amen. There's something that happens. And the amazing thing is that when we embrace spiritual fathers, there's so much information. There's so much wisdom that we can tap into. Experience that people have that we don't have to go through it together. I mean, we can go through it. We don't have to go through it alone, but we can go through it together. Galatians, go to the next slide. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, and this word burden is actually means something that's too heavy to carry by yourself. So think of the mission that my dad built out of concrete, right? Needed a four-wheel dolly, two strong guys, just to lift it and set it down, right? And my mom was saying, she's like, I think we just left it at the church for a long time. I don't think we picked it up for a long time. And then they're probably like, get the truck and get it. Indestructible, I think. But this burden is saying, hey, there's things, challenges you're going to face that are too heavy for you to carry it by yourself. Right? So it says, when we come along one another, spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, people God has placed specifically in your life, right? When we shoulder that burden together, it's so much lighter, right? I remember one time, I think we still have the piano. There's one time there was I think it was a cantata or some musical or Christmas, and they put the piano on the floor, right? And after the service, or before the service, one of the people came up to me and they said, oh, John, can you help me move the piano after the service? And I'm thinking, well, okay, yeah, like I'll try to help. But I'm thinking, where's the dolly? Like, and I actually had moved pianos before at the time. But this was like suit and tie days, right? So I'm thinking, do I go home and change? What's going to happen? He's like, oh, no, we're just going to get a bunch of guys, right? And literally what we did, I think the stage was a little lower, but we literally had like 20 guys pick up this baby grand piano, inch it over. The people that were on this side step up. And then everybody came. And it was really light. There was only like one point where you're carrying it where it's like, oh, there's the weight, right? It was so easy when we had 20 people, right? It's so much easier to carry the burden when you have people pulling with you. And guess what? When the victory comes. Okay, well, first of all, has anybody ever had a party by themselves? Right? Has anybody tried to have a party and nobody showed up? No, just wasn't a party, right? But what happens is when other people have been carrying the burden with you, when that victory comes, it's a party. We had 20 of those people carrying. It's a party. Right? Where sometimes, like, if an answer to prayer finally comes, but you've been under the burden, you're like, oh, okay, just check that off. And now the next burden comes, right? But no, it's a celebration that your victory, Travis, is my victory. And my victory is your victory. When one person in the body is blessed, we are all blessed, the Bible says. Right? So we are to embrace spiritual fathers and mothers and others. Number three, become spiritual, and it's okay to be a natural father too. I encourage that. Again, it's awesome. We finally had a baby, so what can I say? I want to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Right? Who is this? This is Timothy, and Paul is speaking to Timothy, his spiritual son. He's saying, you know what? What God has done in your life, what I've imparted to you, what I've affirmed in you, what I've released in you, do it again. Release it to people around your life. Again, there's been times I've heard Travis preach or share or connect with people, and he's telling them the same things that I've told him. Right? And at first, it's like, oh, that's so awesome. Then you're like, what else did I say? Like, it makes you want to say, and again, with our daughter starting to mimic, it's like, we got to really be careful, you know, like the right things. But how powerful is it that my investment in Travis is getting into the campus clubs and the youth group and wherever he's at? And it's like, oh my gosh, that it's not just this generation, it's going to impact the generations to come when we become spiritual fathers and mothers for the next generation. And again, just like I said, those dads that come up to me and they say, oh my gosh, it's the most, I wish I could go back to when my daughter was that age, right? Well, hey, guess what? There's plenty of spiritual sons and daughters that need you, right? And there's such a benefit, there's such a blessing that happens. And again, in my life, it's transformed my life to be able to pour in, and it's really done a powerful work. Let's just have the ministry, let's have the worship team come. We will do some ministry time at the end. I want to read a little bit out of Luke chapter 15. I think many of us have heard the story of the prodigal son. We call it the prodigal son. Or in my Bible, it says the parable of the lost son. It starts out saying there was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there squandered his wealth in wild living, wasteful living, right? He went off with the cash and did his own thing. And the story goes on. I think most of us know this story, but as the story progresses, he came to a place in his life where a famine hit the land and he was all out of money. So he took a job, right, feeding pigs. But he was so hungry and destitute, the food that he was giving the pigs started to look good to him. Right? And I was joking in the first service that I said, hey man, that pig would probably start looking good to me. Right? And then Caleb's like, well, he was Jewish. He couldn't eat pigs, right? Kosher. So like, hey, we're not under the law. Praise the Lord. So hallelujah. And so he has this moment in the pigsty where he's like, I'm hungry. This pig food's looking good for me. I've got nothing. He said, how many servants in my father's house have more than enough to eat? He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back home, but I'm not a son anymore because I blew it. I wasted my inheritance, right? But he said, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to say, Dad, I'm just a servant in your house. I just want to be the hired help. So he heads back, and as the story goes on, the father says that he was looking a great distance away, looking for his son to return. Before his son even got there, he ran to his son. Right? And the son started to go through his prepared speech. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said, servants, quick, bring the best robe. Put the best robe on him? Isn't he the one that blew it? Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. He said, guess what? Kill the fatted calf. We're having a party. Right? That's how the father loves us. That's the father. That's the blueprint we have. So to become a dad-tastic dad, these are the things that we need to do. We need to get into the word. This is a manual for life. How do I become a father? Look at our heavenly father as the model, as the role model. This is what it looks like. We thank God for, again, the spiritual fathers, and that's the next part. Look to other men and women around your life that have figured a few things out. They're good dads. Get around them. Let it rub off on you. Go to them when you're going through stuff. Again, I don't know what I'm going to do when boys start calling my daughter. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I need some help, right? All I can think about is Donnie Moore. Donnie Moore was another amazing spiritual father, right? He's home to be with the Lord now, but he impacts so many people and generations. But when Donnie Moore would come, there was a spiritual father. And I'm like, I'm going to receive from a father today. I'm going to receive from a father. But he tells the story of how he first ripped a license plate in half. Does anybody remember that story? He said a boy came to take his daughter on a date, right? So he goes and he unscrews the front license plate from his car. And he goes in and he rips the license plate in half, right? And he says, this is what I'm going to do to you if my daughter's late from the date. He said it was the shortest date in human history. It's like 40 minutes or less, right? It didn't even go anywhere, right? But I'm going to need help. I'm going to need, other men to come alongside my life and carry the burdens with me and pray and have the breakthrough. But again, at the same point, we get to release what God has done in our lives. If God has done one thing in your life, you've had one breakthrough, release it in somebody else. Call it out of somebody else. Affirm somebody else. Be a father that restores like this, that we don't judge them. Oh, yeah, you blew it. I told you so. No. Put the best robe on them. Put the ring on them. It was a total picture of not only forgiveness and repentance, but restoration in their life. Let's just stand up. I'm going to share one other story, and then we're going to call our ministry team, and they're going to sing a song. And again, sometimes I think, and I feel this way, especially being a new dad, where there's moments where I just feel so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed, right? And again, sometimes it's good, clean fun. And like one time, we have a tea cabinet in our house, a little cabinet with all the tea. And I don't even know why we have it set up that way, but Emma got into the tea cabinet, right? And so she had all the tea on the floor and all the boxes open. And most of the tea is like, in packages, so it's not like touching the ground. There was a few loose leaf tea bags that I had to clean up, but she was playing there, and I'm like, you know what? That's okay. She's quiet. She's entertaining herself, right? She's putting tea back in boxes. Of course, they're not in the right boxes, but my wife comes home and she's like, oh my gosh, John. I'm like, Emma was having a great, this is a win for me, right? There's those times you feel overwhelmed. You feel like you're just doing the best you can. And I heard this story. It was in a hotel lobby where it's years ago, and there's a piano in the hotel lobby. And this girl walks up and gets up onto the piano bench and feet not even touching the ground and starts to plunk on the piano, right? And she doesn't know how to play the piano at this point. So it's not music, right? And this person that was observing it said, oh, it was awful, right? This kid just banging on, like staccato, note here, note there. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, why doesn't somebody stop that child? Of course, he didn't have kids at the time, right? All the parents were like, ah, it's okay, right? And he says, finally, a man comes. And he's like, oh, great, he's going to stop her, you know? And what the man does, he sits right next to her on the bench, lets her continue to play, and starts filling in the notes, right? All these broken chords and jagged notes. And all of a sudden, this man, this observer, who first said this was the worst thing he'd ever heard, said it was the most amazing music he'd ever heard. He found out that it was her father, and that he was the guy who wrote Prince Igor, the opera. And so, he's got some skills, right? But so many times in our life, I think I find myself as a dad or whatever situation you're in, where you feel like, hey, I'm over my head. I'm just at the piano plunking here and there, and it doesn't sound like music, right? But our Heavenly Father is going to come right alongside us, sit next to us. And as we do what we know to do, right? As we do these things, God is going to start filling it in. He's going to make beautiful music out of our lives. Amen? Amen. So, you guys can clap. That's okay. So I'm just going to have our ministry team come real quick. Ministry team come. And if there's anything in this message that resonated with you, or you said, you know what? I need to embrace my Heavenly Father afresh. I want to experience this kind of transformational love. Or say, you know, I need to surrender and my pride and embrace spiritual fathers and mothers in my life and get people around me that have done this before and can help lead and guide me and become a spiritual father. But I also want to just pray for salvation today, just in case there's one person here. Again, maybe you were like that prodigal son where you got your speech ready. We say, you know what? I've blown it so bad that there's no way that God would accept me again. I knew better and I walked away and I blew it. God is saying to you right now, son, right now, daughter, you're not only forgiven, but I'm restoring you right now. If that's you, just raise your hand today. I want to pray for you. I see.